All right, good morning. Thank you for coming. I will be speaking about a part of my dissertation on a unique scarab genus in the gene Chromasticylus, based on morphology. So Chromasticylus is a very unique genus within the Scarabaeidae and belongs in the subfamily Cetonianae. These are typically called flower chafers, feeding on pollen, sap, and flowers. Chromasticylus is unique in feeding on ant larvae. So there are approximately 45 species, including several subspecies in this group, and five currently recognized subgenera. They're distributed throughout North America, from central Mexico to southern Canada, where they overlap with ranges of several large genera of ants. And these ants are typically found in two large subfamilies, the Formicines and Myrmicines. The adults feed on ant brood. So these Formicine and Myrmicine ants typically build large mounds like something you can see on the bottom right here, or bottom. And these large mounds provide a lot of brood as well as vegetative material, which provide food for the larval beetles. And since these beetles have to find their way into an ant mound, so you can see a picture of a beetle, an adult, interacting here with some ants, they have acquired a lot of unique morphological adaptations, namely in the sense of glands and trichomes. And on the top left there, you can see a picture of the posterior end of the pronotum. This is typical for Chromasticylus. That is where you will find the pronotal glands, and ants will typically bite onto these and either pull the ants into the ant mound or pull them out. So there's a lot of diversity within this group, and I'm not going to belabor the different groups here, but there are five subgenera, and I picked one species of each. Chromasticylus is a subgenus within the genus. Myrmicotonus is another one. Macropodina, which I like to call the big-footed beetles, have these really enlarged four tarsi, the fourth and fifth segments being enlarged and actually bearing glands on the inside. Trinodia is the one on the bottom left there. This is recognized by the trilobe pronotum. So this one right here. And then there's Anatrinodia, which is right next to it. And they were previously, I should say Anatrinodia was grouped into Trinodia, because it seems like the pronotum is divided into three lobes. Turns out that Anatrinodia, those lateral lobes are filled with glandular tissue, and in Trinodia is filled with muscle. So this is very interesting. And due to this diversity within the group, there's been a lot of contention amongst workers of Chromasticylus on, you know, what is a subgenus? Should we recognize all subgenera? And most recently, Alpert basically said, yes, all subgenera are valid, even though previous authors said no. So this acts as the first modern phylogenetic analysis of the group, and I'm basically testing hypotheses of these relationships. And my real goal was to examine characters related to Myrmecophily, which is my true interest, so I'm going to briefly tie this in at the end. For my methods, I examined about 500 specimens, and that might seem low, but these beetles are actually fairly rare in collections. And I examined 40 Chromasticylus species, some subspecies included in the group, and three outgroup taxa, which are related Chromasticylines, all New World taxa. And then I analyzed about 51 external adult characters, and used Winclata and Nona, which to some might seem like an older program, but you can actually see your trees a lot better with this. And then for the results, so this is a strict consensus of 200 equally parsimonious trees. There's pretty good support for the group as a whole. There where you see the white arrow, that is Chromasticylus with a 97% bootstrap support. So this is definitely a monophyletic group. At this level at least. There's not a lot of resolution at the species level, but as far as clades and subgenera and species groups, there is a lot of resolution, which is surprising. So let me go into Chromasticylus first. This is the subgenus Chromasticylus within the genus. This is a monophyletic group outlined there in green with relatively good bootstrap support of 83%. Bremer support, not so good with one, and I can explain this after. So this is a monophyletic group and is supported by several synapomorphies, including the, if you look at the pronotum and that orange arrow kind of points to the posterior angle. They call it an angle, and there's actually glands on the inside of that. And unique within this group is that the angle is kind of delimited by a declivity, so it's kind of separate from the rest of the pronotum. This is unique within Chromastichylus sensu stricto. And another synapomorphy, which groups these guys together, is right at the antennal insertion, there's this little tubercle, which is actually associated with the gland as well. Unfortunately, the role of these glands are not known, so all I can say is that it's interesting, and that's basically it. Trinodia, that is the group with the trilobe pronotum. These turn out to be monophyletic as well, with really good bootstrap support and Bremer support of 5. And there are some excellent synapomorphies grouping these guys together, including the trilobe pronotum. And the overall shape of the head, and if you look at the eyes, which are situated here, there's this ocular canthus, which is actually also filled with glands internally. And the overall shape of the clypeus here, kind of squared-shaped, and there's this ridge, this carina that runs from the clypeus to the frons. And there are some glands associated there as well. Macrobidina is also a monophyletic group. These are the big-footed beetles with a bootstrap of 96% and a Bremer support of 4, and some excellent synapomorphies here as well, including the big feet. These bear glands on the inside. So if you look at the 4th and 5th tarsal segments, the tarsomeres, they're really blown up, and we don't really know what these are doing as far as the ant and beetle interactions go. Similarly, if you look at the shape of the head, this doesn't look like a typical scarab. They look really robotic-like, almost square. And if you look at the shape of the head, it's kind of rectangular, and there are actually these ridges that run right above the eyes, and those are filled with glands that are identical to the glands in the feet. So we don't really know what these are doing, but man, would I like to know. Myrmecotonus, this has been a group that, you know, some authors have said no, definitely not a valid subgenus. Others have said sure. Here it turns out to be not monophyletic. It's a paraphyletic group. Although there are several species groups that fall out, including the Armatus group here and the Crinitus group. And then there's another specific group that does not fall out. So with Myrmecotonus, there are no unique synapomorphies, which would render it paraphyletic. Anatrinodia is a monotypic subgenus. This is the one that was previously united with Trinodia based on the pronotum. And it turns out to be mostly close related to Chromastichylus and the Myrmecotonus group, and not at all with Trinodia. And this species is actually causing a lot of problems. So what I decided to do was remove it from the analysis, which is not what you want to do, but I wanted to see what would happen. And I actually found better structure for most of my subgenera. Here's Chromastichylus without Wheeleri, and here we have it with. So there's more structure and better support, actually. Here's Macropodina, similar structure as compared to when Wheeleri was included in the analysis. Trinodia, better structure as compared to when Wheeleri was included again. And here we get Myrmecotonus falling out in those nice three species groups, but it turns out that the Chalmii group, which is up here in this teal box, turns out is its own clade. This is actually a very different looking group. They're very simple looking beetles as compared to the others based on the pronotum. So this is quite interesting. So while we want to, let me just pull this up. While we want to include all of our taxa, this kind of points to the variation within the group. Anatrinodia has always been a problem, and I would like to kind of see what could be done at the higher level as far as Chromastichylines go to see if maybe this is a different genus as a whole. So I was really interested in Myrmecophily from the start, and unfortunately there's not a lot known about the behavior, but I looked at some of the characters that showed up several times in several different unrelated species, and it turns out that there's a lot of characters either related to glands or overall habitat of the ants that they might live with. So the overall CD punctures, integument, some are really shiny, some are really rugose. Maybe this acts as a protection from hosts. And myrmecophiles typically have this pockmarked integument, which might act as a barrier from ants stinging the the membrane or the intersegmental membranes. The flattened posterior femur might act as a way for these beetles to dig into the ant host mounds. And glandular associations can be found with several patches of hair, and again, extreme variation with the pronotal angles. There are some anterior angles here and posterior ones that bear glands. So we don't really know what these do. And let me just bring some conclusions up. Myrmecotonus is not monophyletic and should be synonymized with Chromasticylus. Wheeleri is related to the Chromasticylus myrmecotonus group, if we should synonymize these. These results support previous hypotheses by authors like Howdard and Cricken, and I can go over these in the questions later if you would like to know. And there's rampant homoplasy in characters presumed to be related to ant-host and beetle relationships or interactions. But since we don't really know the specifics here, can't really say much. And that is my final point. So I would like to take any questions you have. And I wish that I could answer questions about behavior, but I really can't. So I would like to acknowledge my advisor, and I think he's here. Maybe not. And all of my friends and and people who supported me by giving me specimens. And then I see Jesus Orozco back there. Thank you for your correspondence. So I'd like to take any questions if you have any.